You're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR and WNYC. I'm Jonathan Colton, and here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
And today we've put together some of our favorite movie moments from our show. On Ask Me Another, we often feature guests who are writers, actors, directors, or producers, but sometimes we get greedy and book a special guest who is all four. We spoke to Jay and Mark Duplass about their journey from nerdy film kids to nerdy film adults. Please welcome our VIPs. You know them from their work on Transparent, The League, and HBO's Togetherness. They've also made a million indie movies together. It's Mark and Jay Duplass.
Hi, guys.
Now, you two have been making movies together since you were 6 and 9.
Was I don't know if I'd call it a movie.
There was some footage that played in a row.
Okay.
It was not an entertaining viewing experience, if you're interested.
A lot of filmmakers' films from their younger days are prophetic of future genius. Ours was not.
No? What was the content?
The first one was The Invisible Man walking across the room, where we would move the shoes one foot in front of the other and film them a couple of seconds at a time and blow people's minds.
Yes.
The second one was a remake of The Blob, where our blue beanbag just rolled down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's just so nice hearing the two of you talk like this, because I love my family. I would never want to work with them. So what happens in the family when you two fight?
We don't fight a lot, and we have actually talked about it. We wonder if maybe we should fight more. We've talked about going to therapy so that we do fight more.
So try some yelling and screaming.
We're worried that maybe we're repressing some stuff.
Your breakout movie was a short film called This Is John, about a man trying to leave the perfect outgoing message on his answering machine.
Really, just any message.
Any message.
Any message. We had tried to be the Coen brothers in the early 90s, but we failed miserably, because they're the Coen brothers.
They're really good at it, too.
Super,
it's a whole other problem.
Super good at being the Coen brothers. We were kind of ready to throw in the towel. I was like pushing 30 and was like, I got to stop torturing myself and our family with this artist thing. And so Mark was like, well, let's just make a movie today. So we took a home video camera, and the story we came up with was something that had happened to me the day before, which was I was trying to record the greeting of my answering machine, and I failed, and I had a nervous breakdown and was crying on the floor. Thank you very much.
It's the little things, guys. It's the little things.
And Mark went out the door, and I rolled the camera, and we shot it in one take, and it was a $3 movie that got into Sundance and did more for our careers than the previous 10 years of trying to be the Coen brothers.
And now, as you can see, we own Blazers.
That's right. They both
This is how it happens, guys.
Both of you are wearing
Deal with
very
it.
Smart Blazers. Those are more than $3, I can tell.
What was we
don't even have to buy these Blazers. People give us Blazers, Pete. It's insane.
Yep.
Jay, what was the $3 for? What was
you had to buy a tape at 7-Eleven.
Nice.
And I went to 7-Eleven and bought the tape.
Has anyone said, all right, you've done this $3 film in the past that was highly acclaimed short film of Sundance. I'm going to give you $3 now. What can you do?
You know, what did happen, which was interesting, is, and this is a little insight into the way that Hollywood works as a machine, it was, if these guys made this movie that got into Sundance for $3, if we give them $3,000, the movie could be 1,000 times as good.
Now, Mark, you star in Togetherness. Is there more pressure on you when you are acting on a project that you created? Because you've also done tons of other television and film. Or when you're on a project that someone else created and has given you the script for?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on a show like the show The League that I did, that was like a zero way. Yeah, I was waiting for that. I even put a little pause in there, if you guys noticed. There's zero pressure on that kind of a show, because it's like it's trying to come up with the most intelligent version of the fart joke you can come up with in that moment. Togetherness is inherently more stressful. I mean, the way Jay and I have always talked about it is, you know, when we are writing and directing and producing and sometimes acting one of our things, it really is like being a parent. It's is nothing more rewarding, but nothing more exhausting. And when we are acting in other shows that aren't our own, it's like being the drunk uncle who shows up with Oreos, plays with the children, and then goes home and lets them deal with everything. And it's very nice to have that dichotomy.
Which you are enjoying right now, Jay, on the show Transparent. Yeah. Major role as Josh, the
brother. A lot of people have seen
son.
Me naked in here, it sounds like. Okay.
Now,
cool.
We're used to having you behind the camera, and now you're in front of the camera, and you are getting just huge kudos and acclaim by everyone saying how great you're. Did you give him any acting tips, Mark?
I said, acting is very fun, and you should do this. Because when I go act on other projects, it's like I'm having an affair on our little marriage together, and I get to feel sassy and bad and do my own thing and just be me in a way that you can't always be when someone knows you so well.
And has that been your experience, Jay?
Oh, yeah. It is really fun to act. I'm a little pissed at Mark for not telling me this 10 years ago. But it's really fun, and I'm lucky to be on such a great show.
So you're on record as saying that even though you were both born in the 70s, as kids, you should have been obsessed with Star Wars like all of your friends, but you were not. You were obsessed with hard-hitting relationship dramas like Ordinary People. Is that true, Jay?
That is correct.
Really? That's what you guys watched together as brothers?
Well, it was Ordinary People, but sometimes we would roll into some lighter fare like Sophie's Choice.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer was always good for a guffaw or two. That's what they were programming on HBO, and that's just what
Fantastic.
We watched.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, it shaped us. Like, our die was cast.
So we thought we'd test your knowledge of those movies, specifically Academy Award Best Picture nominees.
Oh, this is great.
From 1976 to 1985.
Wonderful.
That gentle little period right there.
Lord.
So Jonathan Colt and I are going to do some very dramatic readings from these films, and all you have to do is tell us the title, and the winner will receive an MFA from NYU Film School.
It's about time.
And, of course, an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Can you remember No Melody of Mine? I was the most famous composer in Europe. I wrote 40 operas alone. Here. How about this one?
Yes, I know that. Oh, that's charming. I'm sorry. I didn't know you wrote that.
I didn't. That was Mozart. It went off
the
in a
name
different
place. Of the film
Mark.
Is Amadeus.
Correct.
Starring F. Murray Abraham as Salieri.
And yes. Well done. In this one, Colton and I are an old married couple.
You want to know why I came back so fast? I got to the end of our lane. I couldn't remember where the old town road was. There was nothing familiar. Not one damn tree. Scared me half to death. That's why I came running back here to you, so I could see your pretty face. I could feel safe. I was still me.
Listen to me, mister. You're my knight in shining armor. Don't you forget that. You're going to get back up on that horse, and I'm going to be right behind you, holding on tight, and away we're going to go. Jay.
On Golden Pond.
Yeah.
Featuring, by the way, Dabney Coleman, one of many insensitive male counterpart supporting actor roles from 1975 to 1982. Yeah. Quite a few he did in there.
It was
not least of which is Tootsie.
Yes.
All right.
Oh. And all of it was really foreplay for 9 to 5.
That's right. He was just leading up to it.
Now, just to mix things up in this one, I'm going to be a little boy named Billy. And Ophira is going to be my dad.
Hold it right there. You put that ice cream in your mouth, and you are in very, very, very big trouble.
Ow, you're hurting me.
Ow, don't kick me.
I hate you. I want my mommy.
I'm all you got. Mark buzzed in.
The title of the film and the biggest missed chance for a Seinfeld spinoff, Kramer versus Kramer.
Okay, in this one, Jonathan and I are not married, but there's clearly some sort of sexual tension. I should tell you, this kind of coat doesn't have any buttons. See? hooks and eyes.
Something wrong with buttons.
Buttons are proud and vain. It's not plain.
Got anything against zippers?
You making fun of me?
Whoa, we gotcha!
Ooh.
Ooh, they looked at each other like exactly at the same time. That was eerie.
Can we guess?
Let's go to our puzzle guru, John Chinesky, for a hint.
Her people don't use coats with buttons.
It's not really much of a hint.
Yeah. Her Pennsylvania people don't wear coats with buttons.
If you got it, you go for it.
Witness?
Jay. Yes, witness
yes.
is correct.
Oh, her people, yes. Yeah.
This is your final one, and we are going to need puzzle guru John Chinesky's help for this one. He is going to be playing a little boy named Alvi. Mm. I'm his mom, and Jonathan Colton is his doctor.
Why are you depressed, Alvi?
Tell Dr. Flicker.
The universe is expanding.
The universe is expanding?
Well, the universe is everything, and if it's expanding, someday it will break apart, and that will be the end of everything.
What is that your business? He stopped doing his homework.
What's the point?
What has the universe got to do with it? You're here in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is not expanding. Mark.
Great accents, by the way. Everyone, very well done. Annie Hall, 1977. Sweeping the awards. Woody Allen not there to receive because he is playing in his jazz band on Monday nights.
Mark, you're all about the value add.
I really like to show up. I want people to like me more than Jay. It's hard.
I'm going for the sweet silent type.
Yeah. It's clearly working. I'm breaking down over here.
Hey, puzzle guru John Chinesky, how did the brothers do?
Well, Mark, I think people are going to like you because you won that game. Congratulations.
Oh,
you
God.
Win the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, my God.
On this episode of Ask Me Another, we're taking a look back at some of our favorite games about movies. And sometimes movies are adapted into other artistic forms like books or musicals. The Producers, Hairspray, and Legally Blonde were all adapted from cinema to the stage.
And sometimes there's a very long chain of adaptations, like the 2002 film Chicago. Before that movie won Best Picture, it was a musical. Before that, it was a movie. Before that, it was a play. And before that, it was just a great place to raise a family. We were joined by puzzle guru Cecil Baldwin and guest musician Julian Villard for a quiz about musical adaptations.
In your next game, we're going to scrape to the bottom of the barrel to come up with film-to-Broadway adaptations that surprisingly haven't been done yet. Julian?
We changed the lyrics of iconic Broadway songs to make them about movies you wouldn't expect to be turned into musicals. So just buzz in and say the name of the movie that I'm singing about. And if you're right, you can earn a bonus point by giving me the name of the original song or musical that I'm parodying.
So, Paige, you won the last game. You win this, and you're in the final round. Aaron, you need to win this, or you have to invest in my Phantom of the Opera spinoff. It's from the point of view of the chandelier. All right, take it away, Julian.
I can't remember a thing since December. Who killed my wife and why'd they do it? Since that December, or was it November? To learn a fact, I must tattoo it.
Paige.
Memento?
Yeah, Memento is correct. I'm really getting into short-term memory loss these days. For a bonus point, can you name the original song or musical?
No, I cannot. Maybe I'll just name one.
Sure.
Phantom of the Opera.
No, that was from The Fantastics, the song Try to Remember.
On their feet, their eggs are neatly balanced, warm and safe from predators around them. Can you hear the voice of Morgan Freeman? It's a documentary about these flightless birds.
Aaron.
March of the Penguins.
Yeah. We really spell it out in that clue, don't we? For a bonus point, can you name the original song or musical?
On My Own from Les Mis.
There you go.
I am here in Nam. Wagner's my jam. Played as a warning. Hey, what's that bouquet? The smell of nay. Palm in the morning.
Aaron.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. I'm really into this one. I'm hoping this actually happens. So good. Okay, for a bonus point, can you name the original song or musical?
I don't know this one. No.
Okay, I'm sorry, bonus points can't be stolen. That is I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles. Here's your next one.
The world will be destroyed by a big asteroid unless a team of drillers can be deployed. Last chance, last chance. The Earth has got one last chance.
Paige.
Armageddon.
Yeah. And that's the opening number. Can you name the song or musical?
Again, I will name a song or musical.
Sure, sure.
Damn Yankees.
That's actually a solid guess.
Yeah, right.
It's a solid guess. Era appropriate.
Yep. That was Fugue for Tin Horns from Guys and Dolls.
Someone to narrate these slides. Someone to fill you with fear. Someone to warn that the tides are rising each year. You know he's sincere. He's being Al Gore. Being Al Gore.
Paige.
An Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah. And on Broadway, we call that a triple threat PowerPoint. Can you name the original song or musical?
No, I'm going to try.
I love that you try.
Cats.
So close on
very,
that one.
Very, very close.
So close.
Yeah, if there was ever the other side of a coin of Cats, it would be the musical Company and that song, Being Alive. Unfortunately, this is your last clue.
People who see dead people.
Aaron.
The Sixth Sense.
That is correct. How about that bonus point?
People, Funny Girl.
People, Funny Girl is correct. Puzzle Guru Cecil Baldwin, how did our contestants do?
Congratulations, Aaron. You won that game.
After the break, our celebration of the silver screen continues with a word game inspired by Terrence Malick that's 4 hours long and contains no words. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.